Good morning. Oh, we're going to do it again online. North Campus all, good morning. Man, I am so glad to see you. I don't know about you, I need it today. In this season, as much as ever, we need each other. Whatever form of worship we're taking, I need to worship with God's people. I need to gather. As the scripture says, let us not forsake assembling ourselves together. It's an old-fashioned way of saying, let's not quit meeting together. As some grow in the habit of doing, but let us do so all the more as the day of Jesus approaches. Let us spur one another on to love and good deeds. See, make no mistake, there's an enemy out to steal, kill, and destroy from us. And don't think he takes a break during this season because he feels sorry for us. I was out in far west Texas hunting, and I saw a herd of antelope. As you would know, I had to not be in the Abilene area for that to happen. And one of them had gotten separated from the herd. Somehow the herd was on one side of a game fence. A single was on the left side of the game fence. And the single kept doing all it could to try to figure out a way to get to the herd. The whole time you could tell it was agitated, it was bothered, because it knew it was vulnerable. It knew that by itself, isolated, it was prone to the attack of predators. See, don't think that the enemy's not looking for seasons of isolation right now where he can do the same. Just because maybe we have to physically distance, maybe we have to be apart from each other, we have to find ways to be together in the midst of being apart. We have to find ways to connect using technology, whether it's the phone, whether it's Zoom, whether it's online services, all the things that we can do, we have got to be together because we have to have each other. See, in the season when we're trying to watch for our physical health, there's also other arenas of life that have to be stewarded as well. We have mental health, we have emotional health, we have spiritual health, all of which has to be guarded, all of which have to be watched after. And the enemy is coming after these things, so I implore you. I'm so glad that you're here, if you're at our physical campuses. I'm glad that you're online, that you're watching on demand. And I implore you to keep being diligent in all the areas of our health and such. We get the opportunity to take our next steps with Jesus together because God took a step towards us. That's what we celebrate, or we should be celebrating in this thing called Christmas, is that God took a step that enabled us to take steps. It's what we call Christmas. But let's be honest, the Christmas season started a long time ago, didn't it? I mean, think about it. When was the first time you heard Christmas music in the public? Like on the radio or on social media or in a store or something like that? See, I logged it away because I'd heard rumors that people were starting to do Christmas stuff earlier. They were starting to put up their lights earlier, starting to listen to songs earlier. So I logged it away. And for me, the first time I heard it was the 1st of October. I tried to remember the date, but like, dude, I'm old. My RAM is kind of full, and I can't remember stuff like that. And so I just remember, no exaggeration, 1st of October, first Christmas song. Why? Why so early? The easy answer is just to blame it on the stores, that they're wanting to convince us to spend more and more because Americans are really glad to be able to spend more money in an attempt to buy a Merry Christmas, which we've already proven can't happen. Another message for another day. But we can say the stores are doing this to us, but I suggest there's a greater reason for the early Christmas songs. See, I'm actually old school enough that I still read the newspaper. And in the Abilene Reporter News on Thursday was an article talking about the fact that people are admitting that their decor for Christmas is bigger than it's ever been. Like 70% of Americans said, I am going all out for Christmas. Like we're going after Griswold-style Christmas, right? All these lights, all this stuff. So we're doing more, we're doing earlier. Why? What is it that we are longing for? See, I think it's because our souls are hungering for something. I think we're longing for something. We're wishing for something that somehow we know is linked to Christmas. I mean, come on, we got to be honest. 2020 has been one of the most difficult years that we've experienced. Words like darkness and despair are commonly used. We're actually hoping that somehow, magically, when December 31 rolls into January 1 and 2021 replaces 2020, that it all goes away. But we're all starting to see right now that's not going to be the case. We're hopeful that there is going to be reconciliation and resolve in 2021. We have images of that and thoughts of that. But right now, we know it's not going to happen on January 21. And in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the despair, people are longing. Let's be honest, we are longing for something in the midst of this. Something that we link to Christmas. That's why we love the songs we love at Christmas. I mean, think about the songs you love. Come on, what's your favorite Christmas song? Let it come to your mind right now. What is it? If you're online right now, I challenge you. Just let everybody know about it. You're on Facebook. You're on our online campus. You can type it right out in right now. Physical services, you just have to think about it. See, I did a little research wondering how many Christmas songs could we pick from to be our favorite. And the number I saw most commonly, 1 million Christmas songs. There's 1 million Christmas songs that we can pick from some form or fashion. Some of them, I'm going to tell you, are sad. Like really, really sad. I saw a list from the Washington Post. So we're not talking about a fly-by-night organization. We're talking about a worldwide publication. They had a list of the 100 best Christmas songs. So we have 1 million songs to pick from. This was their list of the top 100. And it listed at number 74. I'm not kidding in any form or fashion. It listed and I have to say a word, I have to kind of apologize ahead of time for saying in church, I farted on Santa's lap, now Christmas is going to stink for me. That's an actual song that made a top 100 list out of 1 million songs in a major world publication. See, I don't have all this stuff about fake news figured out yet. That's sad news right there. I can tell you, right? By the way, if you're online and if you type that in as your favorite Christmas song, I will personally discover what an IP address is. I will block you and you will never be allowed in our church again in any form or fashion. Amen? Don't test me. I'm not bluffing on that. The good news is that's not my favorite Christmas song. In fact, I didn't even listen to it all the way through. It was a sad thing. My favorite Christmas song didn't make the top 100. It made 50, and the things in front of it I really struggle with. But Go Tell It on the Mountain made the list at number 50. I suggest, and please don't dismiss me or mishear me here, I suggest it shouts to us what we're longing for at Christmas more than most Christmas songs, but we miss the message. I bet most of us missed the message when we sang it this morning. Not because we intended to, because we don't know the story behind the song, nor do we understand its image. You see, soon after the Civil War, this dark season, maybe the darkest season of America's history, soon after the Civil War, those who led the charge with the abolition of slavery, these Jesus followers who righteously pursued justice in this way, they knew that their job wasn't done, that once the slaves were free, they needed help getting moving in this world, and they started education systems for the slaves, those who had been formerly part of this horrible institution called slavery. One school was founded in Nashville, Tennessee, called Fisk University. It was named after the Jesus follower who was the benefactor of the first building to make it happen. After a decade or so, the school found itself in dire financial straits. And so they had to come up with something. And one of the faculty, John Wesley Works, said, "I'm going to take a group and go on tour." And so he formed a singing group called the Fisk Jubilee Singers. A 10-person ensemble. They were given every dollar in the school's treasury. I mean, the school leadership was desperate. They pushed all their chips to the middle. They went all in. And the group developed a repertoire of songs that had not been heard by the majority of Americans at that time. This group ended up going to Europe, and the Europeans had never heard these songs. These songs weren't written down. They weren't published. They were passed on through oral traditions. They were the spiritual song by the slaves during their time of slavery. The tour started slow, but it soon increased in popularity. Every stop that they went on, growing in size as people heard the words of these songs. These haunting words of hope from a people who seemed to have no reason for hope whatsoever. The original tour of the Fisk Jubilee Singers not only saved the school, but it raised enough money to build its first building, which is a landmark, a historic landmark in Nashville, Tennessee to this day. One of the songs they sang again and again and again because of that tour has become a staple of Christmas. Go Tell It on the Mountain. The author of the song is unknown, a man or a woman in the throes of darkness. Their situation in life having almost no possibility for changing. If you will, I want you to let that sink in for a moment. I mean, I will confess during this season, and it's been only since March, but it feels like forever, doesn't it? Since March, I've had times of despair. I have found myself battling mentally, having to take thoughts captive more than I ever have, battling with worry and overthought and exaggeration, trying to cast down strongholds by the truth of Jesus Christ. I've wondered at times, God, what are you up to and why aren't you doing this? And I thought you were going to do this and I thought it was going to work out this way. And there were so many situations that I still don't understand and questions that I still wrestle through. And then I hear these words. They've been sung in hundreds of different ways, very few in the original form, but I hear the words. While shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And I get in my mind's eye the image of a man or woman who, in my thoughts, had no reason for any kind of hope whatsoever. In captivity to another, sinfully treated more as property than as a fellow human being, not living in a season of darkness. I mean, come on, we all expect that our season's going to end. We expect there's an end somehow coming. Every other pandemic has ended. Every other situation has resolved. But these men and women, they did not have a season only of some kind of darkness, but they had a life of despair. But this man or this woman, unlikely to be able to read scripture for herself or himself, heard from those who would dare preach to the slaves the story of that first Christmas, the angels appearing to the shepherds that first Christmas, shepherds that were in many ways thought of in the first century, just like slaves were in the 1800s in America. And they heard that in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. You want to describe America right now? The world? Filled with great fear is where a lot of people are. I think if we're honest, some of us. And the angel said what? Fear not. It's a word for us. It's a word from God to us. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, including a man or woman in the throes of slavery. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, just as God promised, a Savior, who's not only a Savior, but he is the Messiah. He is the King. He is the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and shouting, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Who needs some peace right now? Not circumstantial peace, something deep within us. What the scripture calls the peace that transcends understanding. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. You see, the one who sung this song for the first time had a revelation. They heard this word, and the man or the woman who sang this song for the first time had a revelation where they lived from heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. She saw her situation in light of heaven and not heaven in light of her situation. See, the author knew that the child born that Christmas morning was good news of great joy for everyone, no matter their situation, including himself. Jesus being born gave them hope. When I was a sinner, I prayed both night and day. I asked the Lord to help me and he showed me the way. So go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The author remembered the image of the prophet who said, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. See, in days of old, most cities were built in the valleys between hills. That's where the water was found. That's how they could sustain a population. When the kings of those cities went off to war, which was often, somehow they had to get news back to the city about what had transpired. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have satellites. They didn't have anything like that. How'd they do it? They sent runners. By the way, if you've ever run in a half marathon, a marathon, any kind of distance competition, it all goes back to the runners of the kings who would bring news. The first Olympics, one of the competitions was the city kings would bring their best runners, the ones who could get the news back to the city the fastest, and they competed to see who was the best. The first place that these runners would be seen by these cities in the valley would be up on the mountains. They would have a flag, and then from that little flag, they would note victory or defeat. And the first one who would see them would be the watchman on the city walls. It is why the last verse of the song, we rarely sing it. He made me a watchman upon a city wall. And if I am a Christian, I am the least of all. Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. See, the watchman would see the runner on the hill and he would get the news of victory. And then what would the watchman do? He would turn and he would shout to the city, we have won! And his words would bring hope. The hope that every human needs to live. Hope people in our world are desperate for right now. People are putting up their Christmas decor early. They're enlarging it, trying to make the lights brighter and bigger, and singing the songs early because they're looking for hope. Hope in a dark season. But after a couple days, the lights don't speak like they did the first couple of days. I challenge, let's listen to the testimony of those who came before us, those who found hope, not in a dark season, but in a life of despair. And let us grab hold of a truth that they learned, a truth that like no other season we live in, we've got to grab hold of it. See, we are a people who are probably present saying, this Christmas season, we're looking for hope. And here's the hope that they would share with us. Here's the truth that they would shout to us. We get hope by giving hope. And I know you're saying, no, that's backwards. We need to look for hope. We need to find hope. We need to build hope somehow. But in the kingdom of God, the way God wired the world, he wired it differently. In God's way of things, we get by giving. We reap from sowing. The Apostle Paul was one time talking to a group of Jesus followers, people very similar to you and I. And he said to them, everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work that we must help the weak. We must help those who need hope in life. We must give of ourselves, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who said, it is more blessed. How many of you want to be blessed? Hands up right now. Put them up. How many of you want to be more blessed? Put your hands up. We are more blessed when we give. Notice he doesn't say you're not blessed when you receive. It's okay to take a gift. It's okay to enjoy it. But he says you're going to be more blessed when you give than when you receive. Now, I know when we see the word give here, we automatically think of money. And to be honest, in the context here, it's true. Paul's talking about money. But being more blessed when we give isn't just limited to money. Jesus said what? For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Being more blessed when we give, receiving more back when we give, is a principle God wired into creation. The slaves that first sang this song, go tell it on the mountain, go give what we have. They didn't have a lot to give materially. They didn't have money to give. Come on, the slaves who first sang this song, they lived in a terrible world that we cannot even begin to imagine. But they knew that the birth of Jesus Christ was bringing about a new world. Sin, suffering, slave masters were no longer going to reign on them. They had a revelation of a new heaven and a new earth, and it was coming. As Scripture says, set your mind not on earthly things, but set your mind on things above. What would happen? Come on. What would happen right now if the focus of our mind's eye was not what we read on Facebook? It's not what we see on the news. It's not what we hear people saying. What if we set our minds on things above and we started there? And then as we came and saw everything, we saw everything through the lens of what is above. We live from heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. That's the revelation that those slaves who first sang this song have. They live from heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. What hope they had, they were willing to share it with others. Go tell it on the mountain. Run and shout, we are victorious. And as they lived giving away whatever hope that they had, they received more hope, hope that they desperately needed for the lives that they were forced to live. Guys, I will straight up tell you, everything within me wants to explain to you all that's happening in our world right now and give you an answer to what's happening, what's not happening, etc. I don't have it. I will straight up tell you that I've got more questions than I have answers, but there are some things I know. And one of them is this. Hear me clearly. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Not just a Savior, he is Christ the Lord. And I know that the one born that day, born in the manger, is the same one who would go to the cross. And he would pay the penalty for my sins. And his body would be taken and put into a grave. But his spirit did not stay there. His spirit went into hell. And there he battled that I might have victory. And I know that this baby born that day in the manger is saying something about God's heart. That God is for me. And it does not matter then who might be against me. I know that this baby means that God is working in all things for my good, including seasons of COVID. I know that this means that God has started something in me, and what God has started, he will bring to completion. I know from this that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the victorious one. See, I have a hope. You have a hope, and if I need more hope, what do I do to get it? I go and I share what I have. In this song, I hear the truth. We get hope by giving hope. So I implore you, Beltway Park, go tell it on the mountain. I don't care if you like the song or not. Go over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Instead of seeking hope, give hope. And see if you will not find that which you're looking for. Man, let's seek ways to bless people and help them find their way back to God. Maybe like no other season we've ever lived, no other Christmas we've gone through, people are looking for what we have. Let's find a way to bless and help them find their way back to him. And when I say bless around Beltway Park, you know I'm talking about an acronym. We begin with prayer. Just think of the people in your world who need hope. Would you begin to pray for them? Would you look for opportunities to really listen to them? It doesn't mean you have to agree with them. It doesn't even mean you can't speak your words of disagreement. Just do so in respect, honor, and love, and you'll be amazed what respect, honor, and love will do. You can eat with people, and some of you are saying, I can't eat with people. We got a social distance. You know, I've discovered I can eat with somebody and be 6 feet apart. I can have a cup of coffee and be 6 feet apart. There are ways to accomplish this if we so want. We can find ways to serve people. Best Christmas I had growing up, the one I remember, was the one where I saw this acted out in my dad. My senior year of high school, my dad had just become a follower of Jesus, something I had prayed for. I was 17 years old. I'd been preaching for 3 years. My dad walked an aisle of a church one Sunday, much to my shock. I was overwhelmed. A few months later, he came home and announced that we were going to bring a young boy from our church's children home, a home that took care of foster boys and girls. And the elders of the church were asking people to take the kids in for Christmas, and we were going to take one of them in. And you'd think I'd be giddy happy that my dad's stepping into faith, but I was not. I was 18 years old and still had a lot of flesh in me. And I knew when my dad said we were bringing this boy home, he said, we're going to treat him like one of the family. That meant he was going to get gifts just like the rest of us. And my parents were hyper-fair people. What one kid got, every kid got. And I knew that if that kid was going to get everything I got, that I was going to get less because there was only so much of the proverbial Christmas pie to go around. You know what I'm saying? I also knew this. My dad said he is coming to be with us for Christmas. We had 3 bedrooms, one for my parents, one for boys, one for girls. That's it. My sister had the girl room. I, at that time, had the boy room. My brother was coming home from college. He was going to be in the boy room. Guess where the new boy was going to go? He was going to bunk with good old David during that time. And so my private little enclave was becoming a party room that I did not want to have. My dad did not care about all my arguments. And he said, we're going to bring this boy home. We're going to have Christmas. And he did that. And I watched as my dad sought to bless. And I watched the difference that was in him. And it marked my soul forever. The morning that this boy was to go back to the children's home, this young man, I was still asleep. And he left a gift for each of us kids from his own personal stuff. That time in the early 80s, we wore ties when we went and played basketball games and things like that. And it was real common. We had these things called a sock tie. It was a cloth tie. And he had seen that I had worn those to church and other places. He had one sock tie. And over the end of my bed, he left that sock tie and he left a note saying thank you for the way I had treated him during that season. 10 years later, he sent a note to my dad. My dad, who followed that boy for the next years. Once I went off to college, my dad, when that young man wanted to play Little League Baseball, my dad made sure he was on his team. And my dad did a thing here or a thing there with him, and 10 years later, that young man wrote to my dad and said, you were the closest thing to a father figure that I ever had. And you, like no other, showed Jesus to me. Thank you. That's the kind of impact we can have in big ways and small ways. If we would just dare seek to be a people who give so that we can receive. We've created ways where we can serve around Beltway Park, things you can easily do. Like we are going to have Walk to Bethlehem at the Abilene Zoo, December 18th through 23. It is outside. It's going to be a place you can socially distance. It is going to be a live nativity scene. The message of the gospel is going to come through loud and clear. All we need you to do is bring people. It's real simple. Bring your friends. Bring the people you are praying for. Get radical. Buy their ticket. Some of you say, I don't want to buy a ticket. But remember, it's at the Abilene Zoo. How many of you appreciate the zoo? You like having it in Abilene? They need some resources this year. It's been a hard year for everybody. I encourage you, buy the tickets and bring them. Another way we can help is we are doing a shoe drive to partner with people at Abilene, the students at Abilene Independent School District. They have like 1,500 kids that need new pair of shoes. We need you to bring shoes, not your old ratty used things, okay? New pair of shoes at our physical campuses. We have shelves in our foyer. You can just place them on. Some of you thinking I'm online. I'm really not coming to physical services. I don't want to come to the church. I got an idea for you. It's a thing called Amazon. Get online, buy the shoes, ship them to the church. We'll give them away. It is a real simple way that we can serve. Another way, we have Christmas blessing bags. We provide Christmas for all the prisoners at French Robertson Unit. And when you say right now they don't deserve Christmas, exactly, neither do you, and neither do I. That's the good news of great joy. Look up what the scripture says about the prisoner. And then, What do I need you to do next Saturday? December 12th, we're going to put the bags together. Several thousand of them. This is a little bit different this year because of COVID. Like everything else, we have to space people out. We have to do it in shifts because we can't put masses of people in one room together. We're spreading out. So I need you to go online, see the information, sign up for a shift, and let's put the bags together. And the last thing you can do is Angel Tree. Angel Tree is where we actually buy Christmas gifts for families who can't afford Christmas gifts. Specifically, they family members who have a loved one who's incarcerated. I announced this Thursday night. Had two ladies come up to me, both of whom told me their stories of being the kid who received Christmas gifts from Angel Tree and how that sowed into their life to the faith that they have today. That's what we can do. You can pick those up, South Campus in our South Foyer. North Campus is in the main foyer. If you're online, you can go to our online portal and you can sign up there. You can buy Christmas for them. There's just four opportunities where you can seek to bless, to give hope so that others can receive hope. All that information's on our website. But I promise you this, if you'll open your eyes and open your heart, hear me, God's gonna give us opportunity this season. Maybe to get hope, what you don't need is another string of lights. If you wanna go Griswold, I'm great with that. But maybe what we need for hope is to look for opportunities to share hope with people. And somewhere along the journey, as you do these things, you're going to get a chance to share your story. Because the scripture tells us to always be ready to share the hope that we have within us. And I believe as we seek to bless, God's going to help many people find their way back to Him to find hope that is only found in Jesus. A hope that ends up sounding like this.
You know, I grew up in what I'd consider kind of a hostile family life. Drugs, alcohol, yelling, violence. That was kind of the life I knew growing up. All the way till about the sixth grade, there was a set of brothers who were amazing athletes at whatever sport they played. And one day they walked up and asked me if I wanted to go to church with them. And at first I was like, yeah. Because if I'm seen with y'all, people are gonna think I'm popular. So I started going to church, probably for the wrong reason. I wanted to be known by people. I wanted to be seen with these brothers and for people to associate me with them. And shortly after that, they moved, which caused a little issue for me because I only felt at that point that I was allowed to be at that church as long as they were inviting me. So I kind of started going by myself. I felt a little out of place just because I didn't really build the relationships that I should have built. And one day, coincidentally, another set of brothers that went to that church kind of took me in. And from there, we would hang out almost daily. They would take me to different families of the church, would invite me over for dinner, would want to spend time with me. And it got to a point where I kind of would question, you know, why is it? Why do all these people treat me this way? Why are they so nice? Why are they so willing to make me feel happy, to make me feel comfortable, make me feel loved? And I kind of stepped back and realized that there's something bigger going on here. That was kind of my transition from going just to be popular to actually learning that these people are all showing me just love. And that love is what God shows us. And I wanted to know more about it. The way that these people treated me, I knew they had something and I wanted it. I just didn't know what it was. And so I started going and asking questions. I started spending time with these different families that took me in as basically one of their own and would teach me about Jesus and teach me about this love. Years go by and I just continue to dig in deeper with these families and with these brothers and just learning more and more about Jesus. I'm just thankful that these brothers decided to ask me to come to church. Part of me's very glad that at one point in my life, I was really concerned about being popular.
Come on, somebody say that's amen to that. Come on. It deserves a, y'all are quiet, deserve a round of applause. Come on, man. Somebody has hope. Confidence in God's love for their life. Because somebody was willing to go tell it on the mountain. Here's my question for you. Are you willing this Christmas to be that person? In this season, when the natural thing seems to be, I got to get what I can get. I got to grab what I can grab. I've got to make it about me and my own. Maybe we are missing what it is we're looking for because we're not doing it the way Jesus did it. We get hope by giving hope. See, I'm confident you need hope. I get it. Pure and simple, I get it. Hardest season I've ever been a part of to lead. In many ways, one of the hardest seasons I've ever lived. But if we will step back and grab hold of the heart of God and we start doing what he calls us to do, it's amazing the harvest he brings into our lives. So I challenge you, Beltway Park, go tell it on the mountain. Shout of the victory and the hope of what we do know. See, I need you to hear, Beltway Park, Jesus has got this. Are you hearing me? Jesus has got this. More specifically, Jesus has got you. I don't know the details of tomorrow. I don't know what jobs are going to look like. I don't know what physical health is going to look like. I can't tell you when this thing's going to end and how it's going to unfold. I can't tell you any of this, but I can tell you this. The same slaves who would dare sing, "Go tell it on the mountain," are also the ones who sang, "He's got the whole world in his hands." You and me, sister, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Listen to their testimony. Hope is our heritage in the season. If we will dare be his people. And we give it instead of just looking to get it. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Before we go online, North Campus, everybody right now, bow your heads. I just have one question for you, real simple. Are you willing to be a hope giver this year? Come on, are you willing to be a man or a woman who will by faith sow what you have? You have hope. You may say, "David, I don't have a lot of it." Good news, he takes mustard seeds of things. The smallest of seeds, if you'll sow it, he can turn it into the largest of things. But we have to sow it. We have to give it. We have to put it out there. And right now, some of us are just holding on, and we think, if I give something, I won't have anything. Trust me, he's got you. And he is going to give you more. To get hope, you got to give it. You got to sow it. It's just like the farmer. Farmer needs a multiplication of seed, and the most natural thing is hold on to the seed you have, but he puts it into the ground. And it brings a harvest. 10 times, 30 times, 100 times more. What would it be like to have 30 times the amount of hope you have right now? 30 times the amount of joy. 30 times the amount of peace. Let's sow it and see if God will not do something tremendous in our lives. So if you are willing to say to God, "God, open my eyes. And let me see the opportunities where I can give hope. All the ways that I can sow hope into the world that you've placed me in, at my workplace, in my neighborhood, at the place where I'm working out, if you're working out, whatever it is you are doing. If you're willing to say to God, "God, I want to be a hope giver. I don't even know how I'm going to do it, but I am willing to be one who gives hope. And no doubt I want to get it. but I am willing to be your man or your woman who will go and tell it on the mountain. I will give hope in every way I can. If you're willing to do that, put your hand up right now, online, North Campus, South Campus. Come on. Let's be givers of hope. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we take you at your word that we are more blessed when we give than when we receive. And so I speak the word of more blessing over your children right now. I speak the word of more blessing. We will have faith to believe that as we sow seeds of hope, we are going to reap a harvest of even greater hope. So we bless you, Lord God. We trust you. Thank you that we could get together. Thank you for what you're doing and bring hope into our world. I ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's stand up. Okay, look at me, everybody. Next week when you show up, you better be more lively or I'm going to get mad. I know there are fewer of us. I get it. Understand, we are all dancing a dance right now, aren't we? We are all trying to say, how do we navigate this? If you're online right now, man, I'm so proud of you for being here. If you're physical, I'm proud of you being here. I am just proud that we are doing what we need to do. But we are going to be a people who walk in faith in the midst of darkness. We are going to be a people who walk in joy. We're going to walk in peace. That is our heritage. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, mercy, self-control. Those things are not limited to just the good seasons. They bring a harvest even in the bad seasons, the hard seasons. We are going to be those people. And so I encourage you, walk in the joy that is yours. Walk in the joy that is yours. You say, what joy? For unto us is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. If that doesn't stir your heart, then I encourage you, get your Bibles out. Get before the Lord and make sure he can show you how important that is. Because once that issue is settled, even when you're a slave, you can have hope. We are going to have prayer partners who are on the phones right now. Some of you saw people getting up. They're going to the phones right now. I'm so sorry we can't pray in person. We're trying to do this COVID situation. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for your social distancing. Thank you for honoring people, all the things you're doing. We are going to be on the phones. Phone numbers on the screen. You can call in from your house. You can call in from your car. You can call in from anywhere. If you're watching on demand, text in. If you're not at a live service, and we'll have somebody call you as soon as possible. Some things we want to pray into. If you've recently discovered you're grinding your teeth, we want to pray for you. Someone received news that has released discouragement like a hammer recently. Joint pain, osteoporosis, right ear pain, right kidney. We feel like we're supposed to pray healing for those things. Someone has wanted a new Bible. The prayer partner said, asking you shall receive. Call in, we'll get you a Bible. We'll make it work. The name Jonathan, you sense you're in a place of being overwhelmed. We want to pray with you on that. Someone has had a recent job change and you're doubting your decision on that job change. We want to pray with you about that. Or we will pray about anything else. So you call in and pray. So let's put our hands out in front of us. It's time for us to go. But I want you to listen to the blessing. It's different than what I normally pray. It's out of the end of the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul prayed, may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, that we might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hear it again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Receive his joy right now. Joy that is not based on circumstance. Peace that is beyond situation. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. May he give you greater faith that you may overflow with hope. Be hope givers by the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, Prince of Peace. And the people of God said, amen and amen. God bless you guys. We're right back here next week. God bless.